السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله وسلم عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله وسلم عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا غريب يا مظلوم يا شهيد كربلاء، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون، قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت، كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. God states in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when death comes to one of them, he says, "My Lord, return me, that haply I may work righteousness with regard to that which I have left. No, indeed, these are words that he speaks. And behind them is a barrier until the day they are resurrected." Amanna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Once again, let us enliven our hearts, our minds, our gathering with the remembrance of the Holy Prophet and his purified progeny. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli. It's quite amazing when we think about the sheer number of disagreements that we have between us as human beings. That we disagree virtually on everything and anything. From the smallest things in life to the largest. We find that when it comes to our preferences or taste for food, there's disagreement. Some people think that a certain food is delicious, and others will think that same food is not delicious. When it comes to our perceptions of beauty, what is beautiful or what is not, we disagree. When it comes to our disagreements on morality, what's good, what's not good, what's right, what's wrong, when it comes to our preferences for sports, who's the best team? Of course, we know Barcelona, without a doubt. Right? When it comes to our political preferences, what we prefer politically, our views, our political views, we have disagreements. When it comes to our religious beliefs and practices, we have disagreements. All the way to the largest thing within the Islamic view, the greatest being is God. Yet we disagree about God. We disagree about whether God exists or not. We disagree as to who God is. What are the characteristics of God? We disagree about virtually everything. But despite all of our disagreements, there is one thing that no one can deny. No one. And that is the reality of death. This is something all of us agree upon. It doesn't matter your religious beliefs. It doesn't matter your political beliefs or preferences. It doesn't matter where you come from, your background, your skin color, your language. Doesn't make a difference. We all agree, unanimously agree, that death is a reality. The Quran tells us in several verses, it speaks of this reality, the inevitability of death. God says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. Every soul. In another verse, Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say, Ya Rasulullah, tell them, tell the people, this thing, death, which everyone runs away from. الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ. We run away from death. فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. It's chasing after you. It's coming after you. And sooner or later, the time will come when it will catch up with you. فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. I read a story about a young boy who would often accompany his grandmother to different venues. She would take him along the different places that she would go to. And when she would especially take him to weddings, she would take her grandson, he would accompany her, and every time when the bride and the groom, they would come out, she would always turn to her grandson, and she would nudge him, and she would tell him, you're next. So they continued, it bothered him. Every single time, it bothered him. Until one day a family friend passed away and they had a funeral for that family friend. So the grandmother takes her grandson to the funeral, and as they're burying the dead, the grandson, he nudges his grandma and he says, guess what? You're next. Right? We don't know when. We don't know when, but we know that death is inevitable. It will come sooner or later. And that when it comes, there is no delay at all. Not for a moment. It does not delay itself. The Quran tells us, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. And when their time comes, their appointed time comes for them to leave this life, to move on. لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون. They are not either delayed nor advanced, even momentarily. Even momentarily. The verse that I began with from Surah Al-Mu'minun, God says, حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت, when death comes to one of them, he says, قال رب ارجعون, oh my Lord, allow me to go back. Give me a minute. Give me an hour. Give me one more day. Why? لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت. Perhaps if you give me another chance, a second chance, more time, I can do good with that which I left behind. I can fix my mistakes. I can do good. I can make up those things that I've done wrong. I can right wrongs, those people who I've hurt, those people who I've abused. I can turn to them, I can make things right. If I've missed my prayers, my fasting, if I've missed charity, if I've done this or that, that I fix things, that I prepare myself. The Quran says, كلا. No. No. When the decree comes, there is no delay. We read in a famous story, some of you may have heard this story before. Within the tradition, it tells us that during the time of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, there was a young man who would often accompany Prophet Sulaiman in his gatherings. And so one day, in a gathering, this young man is sitting. Prophet Sulaiman is also sitting there. The man notices that a figure enters into the gathering and he begins to stare at him, to look at him directly. He's just looking at him. And so, he's a little frightened from this. He's a little shocked. This is unusual. So the figure turns around and leaves. The man then turns to Prophet Sulaiman. He says, "O Prophet of Allah, something strange happened in the gathering today. And I'd like to tell you about it." He said, "What is it?" He said, "As I was sitting, I noticed the figure came into the gathering and was looking at me, was staring at me in a strange way. He made me feel very uncomfortable. What's going on? Can you tell me?" Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, he told him the figure who came in was the angel of death. He says, "The angel of death came in? Why was he looking at me?" Right? He was just looking at me. Prophet Sulaiman said, I don't know. So he said, "If this is the angel of death, this has frightened me. I ask," the tradition says, that the man told Prophet Sulaiman that I beseech you to pray to God to take me far away from here. The tradition brings the name of India, Al-Hind, to send me to India, far away. Prophet Sulaiman, he raises his hands. The tradition says that the man miraculously was taken from his place to India. The angel of death, he comes back to Sulaiman alayhi salam a while later. And so Prophet Sulaiman, he asks him, he tells him, "What's going on? Can you tell me what happened? There was an incident that happened a while ago." The angel of death, he told him, "Ya Nabi Allah, I had in my roster, my daily roster of the souls that I am commanded to take, I had the name of so-and-so." And of course, you know, with each person, there's a photo ID. He knows the name and the photo, right? He knows who it is. So he says, and the location, of course, he says that I came and I looked, I saw the photo of this young man, but he's sitting next to you. But I noticed that the location did not match the name and the photo. There was a disconnect. The location said that the soul of the person that I would be taking would be in where? In India. It says, so I went to India and there, lo and behold, I found him. No delay. We don't know when death arrives, when it comes, at what point, but we know that it comes. At its appointed time, at the time in which God is aware of. And thus death is inevitable, brothers and sisters. But what's more than the inevitability of death is that death is one of our greatest fears as human beings. It's one of our greatest fears. The thing that we are most afraid of. There are perhaps no other exceptions, maybe one. I remember reading once an article that said, that talked about people's different fears, and it actually ranked number one on people's fears is the fear of public speaking. Some people, they said that they fear public speaking more than death itself. Probably the reason is because everyone's looking at you, right? Except those who are asleep, of course. I see you, right? It's a fear. We fear death. It causes us great anxiety. But why? Why does it cause us anxiety? Well, it really depends on our state, really. Why we fear death, why it causes anxiety in our hearts and minds. For those who don't believe in a hereafter, for those who do not recognize a life after this life, a life after death, for them this life is it. And death signals the absolute end, khalas. After this life, there is nothing afterwards. And this is why, you know, if you think about it, this can cause a lot of anxiety. Because we don't know when we leave. If you had a guarantee, if you knew that when you entered into this life, you would be here until so-and-so time, you had a guarantee that you would remain alive until this specific time, and you knew about it, it would probably cause less anxiety. Right? But we don't know. For those who do not believe in life after death, it causes anxiety. So what do they end up doing? They end up trying to make up for that anxiety by maximizing their pleasure and their time in this life. Right? And so they'll announce, you only live once. YOLO. You only live once. And so what? So maximize this life. Do everything you can, because after this life, there is nothing. There is oblivion. That's for those who do not believe in a hereafter. But for those who do believe in a hereafter, in a life after death, that death is not it, that there is an eternal life afterwards, they also, many of them also, they fear anxiety. They feel anxiety, they have fear about death. And perhaps this is because they know that there is accountability in the hereafter. And so they think about their actions, their deeds. And maybe they begin to think about their shortcomings or their wrongdoings in this life. So they ask themselves, am I ready? This is a really important question, brothers and sisters. It's a really important question that each and every one of us has to ask ourselves. Am I ready? Am I ready to move on? To leave this life? To go on to the hereafter, to be held accountable by God? Am I truly ready or not? It's a simple question, but one that is hugely consequential, brothers and sisters. And this is why, for many of us, this causes anxiety. It causes stress and difficulty for us. Yet despite the anxiety that the thought of death gives us, we find that when we come to our teachings, when we come to our traditions, they still emphasize on frequently remembering death. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ هَادِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَادِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Frequently, أكثروا means do so frequently. In frequency, remember هادم اللذات, the demolisher of delights. His companions, they told him, يا رسول الله, وما هادم اللذات? What is the demolisher of delights? He replied, it is death. Death demolishes our delights, right? And so we are asked and we are encouraged not only to remember death, but to remember death frequently. To think about death often. And so the question that comes is, wait a minute. Isn't Islam so, and its teaching supposed to bring about a sense of relief, comfort, peace, tranquility to the heart? How is it that this tradition that is supposed to bring us peace and tranquility and comfort is encouraging us to think about something that gives us so much anxiety and so much fear? Isn't it doing the exact opposite what it's supposed to do? And the answer simply is that fear of death, brothers and sisters, persists for two main reasons. Brothers and sisters, I've been asked to ask those who are sitting on the ground to please. I know it's tight in here and we are many, but if it's possible, try to move up as much as you can, please. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Please rise and move forward. There's some room here on my left side.
Because there are some more people that are coming.
Yes, please. There's some room here. I know it's very tight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and reward you, inshallah, for your participation in these majalis. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Once more, for the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. The fear of death, brothers and sisters, persists for two main reasons. One relates to our lack of knowledge of the nature of death. And we know in the popular saying, "An-nasu a'da ma jahilu," that people, they oppose or they may fear that which they are ignorant of. There's something that we don't know about. Usually it causes us stress, anxiety, fear sometimes. This is one reason. And the second relates to being unprepared for death. So two. Number one, knowledge of death, the nature of death. And number two, preparedness or unpreparedness for death. When we come to the nature of death, what do our teachings tell us? How do they explain to us what death is? They tell us that death is a natural part of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, as I mentioned, the Quran says, "Kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut." In another verse, God says, "Kullu man 'alayha fan." Everyone will perish, everyone will cease to exist. Even those who were the greatest of creation. In our tradition, in the Islamic tradition, the best of creation is the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma sallam. And the Quran in relation to Prophet Muhammad says, "Innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun." Even you, Ya Rasulullah, you will die, and your followers and the rest of the people, they will also die. In another verse, God says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. And we never gave eternal life to any human being who came before you. This is in direction to the Prophet. We never gave eternal life to any human being who came before you, O Prophet. أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. Is it possible that you would pass away, but they would remain eternally alive? It's a natural part of our life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاتِ. God created, the Quran says, God created death, and God created life. And that death is a station. It's a transit point, brothers and sisters, on our way to the next life, which is our permanent abode, our permanent life. It's a transit point. Sort of like when we're traveling long distances, sometimes we stop in a specific city in order to transit, right? Usually, that transit is temporary. You don't stay there for a long time. Unless, of course, you're Tom Hanks and it's the terminal, the movie, the terminal, right? I don't think anyone's seen that movie. Anyways. Okay, we have two hands, alhamdulillah. It's a transit point for a point of departure to the eternal life. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he says, "Al-mawtu babu al-akhirah." Death is the gate to the hereafter. It is that transit point in which we connect from this life, the temporary life, into the hereafter, which is the permanent life, the permanent abode. And finally, that death is a journey in which we return to our Lord. This is why we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That we begin with God, we belong to God, and to God we will return. It's a journey back to God. And like every journey, brothers and sisters, it requires preparation. When we decide that we want to travel, we do so based on some preparation. We don't normally just go to the airport and catch a flight wherever. We don't usually do that. We prepare. And we make two important decisions. One decision is, where am I going to go? That's the first decision. I have to decide where I want to go. Where is my destination? Where is the point that I'd like to visit? This is number one. After I've made my mind, then I decide, what am I going to take with me? If I decide to go to Hawaii, for instance, right? I have to pack accordingly. I don't pack a huge jacket with me and, you know, gloves. I don't think it ever gets cold in Hawaii, does it? I haven't been yet, alhamdulillah, inshallah, in the future. But apparently it doesn't get cold there, right? So you don't pack jacket or gloves or mittens or a hat. If you're deciding to go somewhere cold, you pack accordingly. So you decide where you want to go and you decide, number two, what you're going to take with you. And it's the same for the journey of Al-Akhirah, brothers and sisters. We decide, where do we want to go? Where is our destination? Of course, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in the hands of Allah. But Allah has also given us a roadmap for how to live our lives here in this life. And that if we follow a certain course, that there is a specific destination awaiting us. And if we follow another course, there is another destination. So the first, where we want to go, where our destination is, that's a decision that we make in this life. And then based on that, we decide, what do I want to take with me? What do I carry in my suitcase? The Quran says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On a day, meaning the hereafter, on a day in which wealth, the amount of money that I have, my family, my children, my status in this life, it will be of no benefit at all. At all. No benefit. In this life, sometimes it's of benefit, right? The amount of money that you have might give you special perks and privileges. The family that you come from, your connections, your social standing, your socioeconomic status, your friends, all of that might give you certain privileges and certain benefits in this life. But in the hereafter, the only thing that benefits us is the one who comes forth with a pure heart. And inshallah, tomorrow night we'll speak a little bit more about what it means to have a pure heart. قَلْبٌ سَلِيمٌ. And so, we decide where do we want to go and what do we want to take with us. This is why the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahu sallam, he says, الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. This life is a farm, a plantation for what? For the hereafter. That God has given us each a plot of land and the tools that are required in order to cultivate this land. And based on our efforts and based on our actions and what we do with this plot, we will reap what we sow. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. We see it, the good and the bad. Whatever we sow, we will reap. It's based on our efforts. And so on. I read a story about a man who, he was an architect. He had built many homes for you know, many buildings and many homes as part of his profession. Many years, he spent decades as an architect, and he built all kinds of structures, all kinds of buildings. And so after many decades of work, he decided that he'd like to retire, right? And that he was going to retire along with his spouse, with his wife, and after he retires, that they would travel the world together, go and see the entire world. So he was really excited. And so one day he comes to his boss and he tells him, listen, you know, I'm giving you my 2-week notice. I have decided to retire. I'd like to go and to travel. That's it. Khalas, I'm done. So his boss, who he had been working with for a very long time, he told him, you know, I'm really sad to see you go. Been a great architect, and it's been great working with you. But I just have one favor from you. One last favor, if you can do it. So the man was kind of reluctant. You know, he's already thinking about his plans, his retirement plans. But since they had a good friendship, a good relationship, he said, fine, I'll do it. What is it? He told him, I want you to build me one last project. One final project before you leave. He said, okay, fine, no worries. So he gave him the blueprints. It was a home, not a very large home, a decent home that he was expected to build. So he had the blueprints and he started on this final project. But again, his mind was somewhere else. He was thinking about his vacation. Apparently he wanted to go to Hawaii. And so he's thinking about this vacation and all of the great things he's going to do, so he didn't really put too much time and effort as he did in his previous structures and buildings and things that he worked on. Just tried to get it over with. So finally the day came when he had completed this home. He came to his boss. He said, look, I'm done. I finished. It's all done. Can I go now? Will you let me go? His boss said, yes, I'll let you go, but give me your hand. Gave him his hand. The boss gave him a set of keys. And he said, this is my gift to you. The home you built. This last home, this is a gift from me to you. Had I known. Had I known. We reap what we sow, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us time. Has given us resources. Has given us tools. And it is up to us to work and to build and to furnish. We furnish our homes. We build our own homes with our actions and with our deeds. And thus we are encouraged to remember death, brothers and sisters. In remembering death, this is a reality check for us. I mentioned this earlier, the previous night, that far too often it's really easy for us to fall asleep, not fall asleep physically, but for us to fall asleep to our priorities, to what's important to us. We get so busy, so preoccupied with our lives, with the details of our lives, our day-to-day lives, that sometimes we tend to forget. We tend to fall into a slumber. We tend to fall asleep. Remembering death is a reality check. It wakes us up. Wakes us up. It's kind of like when you're driving on the highway, you've noticed on both sides of the highway, the left side, the far left, on the shoulders, that there's rumble strips, right? Some of us have driven over the rumble strips. What's the reason why the rumble strips are there? So that if you're tired, God forbid, You should be alert when you're driving, right? You shouldn't drive when you're tired. You should be fully alert and fully aware. But if, God forbid, you were to fall asleep, you're overtired and you fall asleep, and slowly the car begins to drift to the side, what happens? You run over the rumble strips and it shakes you and it wakes you back up. Remembering death is just like the rumble strips on a highway. It's a reality check. It's a wake-up call. It reminds us of our responsibilities. And this is why we are encouraged always, brothers and sisters, to avoid heedlessness, to avoid complacency, to avoid falling into the trap of focusing all of our time and efforts only on this life, on this temporary life, especially at the expense of the next life, especially at the expense of the hereafter. And this is why Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, شَرُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ بَاعَ آخِرَتَهُ بِدُنْيَاهِ. This is the worst of people, is the one who sells his hereafter for his temporary life. He exchanges, makes a transaction. He sells the hereafter for what? For this life, this temporary life. And then he goes on to say, and he says, even worse than that is the one who sells his hereafter for the life of someone else. بَاعَ آخِرَتَهُ بِدُنْيَا غَيْرِهِ. We kind of find ourselves in this situation sometimes, right? It's one thing for you to sell your hereafter, your own hereafter, for your own life here. You say, you know what, there is a temporary benefit, I don't care. It's one thing. It's one thing to sell your hereafter for someone else's benefit, for someone else's advantage, not even for yours. This is what those who had the audacity to kill Imam Hussein, this is exactly what they did. It's exactly what they did. They didn't just sell their hereafter for this life. They attempted to do so. They were given promises. Umar ibn Sa'd was given promise to be the governor of Array, which was a very important place, present-day Tehran. He was given this promise that if you kill Hussein, you will be given governorship of this area. And he even says in the poetry that is ascribed to him, he says, what do I do? Right? He's kind of torn between himself. He says, what do I do? On the one hand, this is the grandson of the Prophet. This is Al-Hussein. This is not someone who is a stranger, someone that we don't know. This is the grandson of our own Prophet, the Prophet that we believe in. But on the other hand, there is the pleasure of this life. There is the kingdom, there is the wealth, there is the fame. There are the delights of this life. And he ended up choosing the latter. And so he sold his hereafter. But he didn't sell his hereafter for himself. Why? Because he did not even receive the pleasures of this life. He didn't make it. He did not remain to enjoy those promises that were given to him. Not just him, all of the rest, Shimr, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, Yazid himself, none of them enjoyed it. None of them. And so they sold their hereafter for the benefit of others. And thus they neither received the hereafter nor did they receive this life. They lost in both. And so we are reminded not to fall in a state of complacency, brothers and sisters. And again, I remind myself first and foremost before I remind you. This is something that we all have to think about, that we all have to ponder and consider, that we don't just focus on this life. Focusing only on this life at the expense of the hereafter is sort of like going traveling. When you travel, you stay at a hotel, for instance. Imagine that you're traveling somewhere and you're staying at a hotel. And once you arrive, you go to the local IKEA furniture store and you go and you begin to furnish the hotel room. You buy a bed, a mattress, you know, lights, lamps, all of the different furniture. You buy the best furniture in your hotel room, and you know that you're about to leave in a few days. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Focusing on this life only is just like furnishing a hotel room. That doesn't mean that we should not take advantage of this life. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. Wealth, our relationship, our children's, our spouse, our friends, everything, our traveling, our delights, our food, our drink, that's all okay if it's done within proper boundaries, if it's done within proper measures, if it's done halal, it's all fine. Hani'an. Bon appetit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's no problem with that. Enjoy your life. But then the verse says, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا. But there is also a next life, a hereafter, a permanent life that is far greater in value and worth in the eyes of God. Don't forget about the hereafter. Remember, this world is a world of investments, brothers and sisters. We know that one of the most important things that we can do in this life for ourselves and for our children and families is to invest, to financially invest. Some investments are short-term, some investments are long-term. Now, I have absolutely no experience or expertise with investments, so I'm not going to give you any financial advice. Please don't get any financial advice, especially from me. But what we know is that in the same way that we invest for the short term, we have to invest for the long term. We are reminded. Both are important. We don't do one at the expense of the other. We don't do long term at the expense of short term, nor short term at the expense of long term. In the same way, we have to be able not just to take advantage of this life and invest in this life, but also invest in the hereafter. To build our permanent home, our permanent abode. We are told in the tradition that at the time of death, at the time of our deaths, when we depart this life, the people, they usually ask, what did he or she leave behind? Everyone's always interested, right? What did you leave behind? What's my share of the inheritance? How much do I get? Or how much did he or she get? Their father passed away. How much did they get, the family members? What did they leave behind? What possessions? What belongings? What legacy? What kind of life? What did they leave behind? This is a question that you and me ask. Whereas the angels, they ask not what did he leave behind or she leave behind, but what he or she brought forth. What have they brought forth? What have they brought with them to this life? And thus, those who continue to prepare, brothers and sisters, those who are aware, they realize, and they continue to strive in preparation. They remind themselves of their priorities. They remind themselves of the hereafter, of that permanent life. Those people who work and they prepare themselves, they have nothing to fear. There is no fear. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ There's no fear, there's no anxiety. Many of the ahadith, they tell us for a believer, for a mu'min, someone who has worked on him and herself, on nourishing their souls, on nourishing their minds, on preparing themselves for the hereafter, that for them death is not difficult, it's not something to fear, it's not something to be anxious about, but it has a feeling of liberation. The hadith say it's like being unchained after you've been chained or shackled. You've been chained down, and you are suddenly unchained. Feel a sense of relief. Feel a sense of liberation. There is no longer anxiety or fear. But that requires that we prepare, brothers and sisters. That we prepare ourselves. That requires that we prepare like individuals such as Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan. Al-Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam had a son by the name of Al-Qasim. Al-Qasim was young. We don't know exactly how old he is, but the traditions tell us that he was a young man. He was an adolescent. Some of them, they tell us that he was a newlywed. He had just gotten married recently. The traditions, they tell us that when Al-Qasim, he goes to his uncle, Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, to seek permission to go out. Imam Hussein, he asks him a question. He tells him, O Qasim, how do you view death? How do you see death? You know what he says? What he replies? Tells him, O my master, if death is for the sake of God, if death is for the sake of the Prophet, if death is the sake for your sake and in your path, then to me death is sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than honey. This is a young man who was prepared. It's not easy. It's not easy for you to proclaim that you are ready for death. But Al-Qasim alayhi salam, he says, it's sweeter. I'm ready. I'm ready. I have prepared myself. And thus, al-mawtu ahla min al-asal, he says. I'd like to share with you a few words of poetry in honor of Al-Qasim alayhi salam that I wrote many years ago. Qasim proceeds towards Hussein. Qasim proceeds towards Hussein, holding his head up high. O my master, the time has come. I hear martyrdom's cry. I've waited for this day to come, and now I wait no more. I've waited for this day to come, and now I wait no more. For many, death is one to fear. For me, death I adore. For many, death is one to fear. For me, death I adore. Master, I seek permission from you to give my life today. Please allow me to go forth now and courage to display. Hussein replies to Qasim with tears flowing from his eyes. This is his nephew. This is his beloved nephew. Hussein replies to Qasim with tears flowing from his eyes. I knew this moment would come. The moment when you would rise. You remind me of my brother. I don't want you to go. Qasim, you remind me of my brother. I don't want you to go, my Qasim. You are so young now, you still have time to grow. Qasim turns back, shedding tears. Why has my uncle said no? Qasim turns back, shedding tears. Why has my uncle said no? Standing distressed, he remembers he has a note to show. Master, this is my father's last will. Please read it and see. Master, this is my father's last will. Please read it and see. My brother Hussein, it reads. My brother Hussein, it reads, a day will come very soon. Allow my son to fight. Allow him to shine like the moon. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he sees this note from his brother. He sees the handwriting of his brother Al-Qasim. He is reminded of his brother. He is reminded of his brother's face. He is reminded of his brother Al-Hassan's life. But he can no longer say no. Al-Hassan has commanded him that when the time comes that he allows Al-Qasim to go forth and to fight for the sake of Islam, to fight for the sake of the Prophet, to fight in defense of Imam Hussein. So Imam Hussein, he takes Al-Qasim, he brings him close to him. He embraces him, he begins to weep and cry. He places on the head of Al-Qasim the turban of his father, Al-Imam Al-Hasan. He places on him his shield. He gives him his father's sword. And then he tells him to go out. Al-Qasim, we are told, he goes out onto the battlefield. Some reports, they tell us that Al-Qasim, even in this young age, he fought so valiantly, so courageously, that he was able to kill dozens from the enemy army until suddenly they surrounded him from every direction. We are told that one, he comes from behind him and he strikes Qasim on the head according to one tradition. And Qasim, as he's fighting, suddenly his sandal, it snaps. And he stops for a moment to kneel down in order to fix his shoe, his sandal. And look at the cowardice. They were not able to face him face to face. They waited for such a moment for them to come and to strike. Al-Qasim alayhi salam, he is struck. As he falls to the floor, he turns to his uncle and he says, Ya Amma, alayka minni salam. Oh my uncle, I send my salutations upon you. I have fallen, come to my rescue. Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he goes rushing forth towards his nephew Al-Qasim. He goes down to him. He sits by his side. Al-Qasim is heavily injured and bleeding. Al-Imam al-Husayn, he takes Al-Qasim. He begins to wipe the dirt and blood off his face. He tells him, my dear Qasim, I'm so sorry. You called me for assistance, but it is very difficult for you, for me, for I am no longer able to do something. I am no longer able to help you in this situation. We are told that after a few moments, Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he is seen carrying his nephew Al-Qasim, but of the difficulty of carrying his beloved nephew that he had bent down, he was not able to carry him standing up, and so the feet of Al-Qasim were being dragged as he was taken back to the campsite. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين صلى الله وسلم عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله وسلم عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.